if you ask any pastor what the hardest day of the year to prepare a message for, it's either going to be Christmas or Easter. Because everybody knows the story. And what do you say? You can't add to what God has given us. But I wanted to share something that's been going on here with me this last week and a half. I don't know, when did we have our hymn sing? Was that last Sunday? Yeah, wow. Okay, it seems like it was longer ago than that. ever since we did the hymn sing. Now, if you don't come out to the hymn sings, you're really missing out. For me, at least, this is a wonderful time to worship and praise, and I get to sing a lot of songs that I don't know. But there was a word that came up in one of the hymns that's been stuck in my head all week. And that word was rejoice. And so I have been having this every time I started to study, every time I was just letting my mind wander, that word rejoice kept coming into my mind. And the thing about Christmas is that we focus on this happy time, this wonderful time of celebrating the gift that God gives us in Jesus Christ. We're focused on this one point of a beautiful expression of God's love in the child Jesus. And then sometimes we go a little bit beyond that and we remember, okay, we also should be celebrating the fact that Jesus is our Savior. Jesus was born not just to be another child in the world, not just to be a baby that we put on Christmas cards or whatever. Jesus was born for the purpose of dying as a propitiation for our sins. And in some ways, that seems like kind of a downer when we think, well, Christmas is really a celebration of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The Christmas is really about the fact that God was willing to die for our sins. Well, think about that. One of the words that we throw around at Christmas is Emmanuel, God with us. Put that with the word incarnation, which is the same thing, becoming flesh. That God put aside his godness so that he was able to die. The reason that God became a human being was so that he could die. God can't die. God is incapable of death. So he became one of us so that he could die. And so the birth of Jesus is really about the death of Jesus. A death that he endured so that we would have everlasting life through him. Now, the thing is, we should rejoice in the death of Jesus. And I say this at Easter every year, that if you really want to focus on the joyful part of Easter, don't think about Sunday morning, think about Friday evening. The joy in Easter for us is not so much the resurrection, it is the crucifixion. Because the death of Jesus Christ is the death of your sin. It's the death of your condemnation. It's the end of the burden of sin that we bear. And God loved us so much that he was willing to... I keep turning to... There should be a manger under here with a baby. Okay. God loved us so much that he came to earth and he lived as a human being so that he could die for us. Rejoice in that. Rejoice in the love of God, that the birth of Jesus Christ, this gift that he gave to all mankind. We did this thing with the candles here where Rick had all the kids try to get a hand on the, it's a good thing it's a long thing. If this was shorter, we would have had trouble. We are all part of the recipients of that gift. Every one of us can receive that gift of Jesus Christ. God offers it freely to everybody. All we have to do is be willing to accept it. That if we're willing to accept that Jesus Christ was born, lived, and died for our sins, we are recipients of that gift of love, that gift of everlasting life. And it gives us the reason to rejoice. It gives us something incredibly exciting to think about. Now, the verse of the week that I used is from the triumphal entry. Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and the crowds are cheering and yelling. This is a big celebration. And you think about it, really, in Jesus' life, you kind of had two celebrations. You had the angels who were praising and celebrating everything when he was born. And then you had the crowd that was praising and celebrating when he came into Jerusalem. Most of the rest of the time, he was either pretty low-key or he was in trouble. Okay, his ministry was not characterized by people celebrating him. But the crowd, this crowd that was shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." You know, they're saying, "This is our Savior, we're rejoicing, he's here, he's going to rescue us." A week later, they weren't celebrating him at all. They were abandoning him in droves. When Jesus was born, the angels celebrated the birth of Jesus. And I think part of the reason they celebrated is because this was the culmination of what God had been working toward ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. God had been moving toward this moment. This was the plan is in action. The final act is beginning. The baby is born. He's going to grow up. He's going to carry the sins of the people to the cross. And the angels celebrated that because there is great joy in the hope of looking forward, in knowing that this great thing is about to happen. We look forward to it. And one of the reasons I think why Christmas gets more of a celebratory sense to it is because it's got that anticipation, that feeling of looking forward and expecting something great to happen. We're looking into the future to that time when Jesus would carry our sins to the cross. And so Christmas is that moment of looking forward, the beginning of the great events. And yet sometimes we look around at the world, and the world does not look like a place we want to rejoice. We heard this morning in our prayer time about a couple of different people who have passed away from this world, who are leaving people behind, who are grieving. Virtually all of us have, at one point or another in our life, we've lost people that we love and people that we've grieved for. We look around at the events that are going on in the world around us, and, you know, depending on which news channel you look at, you can get a fresh set of disasters and chaos and disorder. If you want to really depress yourself, watch the news a lot. And it makes you think the world is falling apart. As the British would say, it's all gone pear-shaped on us. I like that expression. Gone pear-shaped. I don't know where they get that one from. If anybody's got an explanation for that, fill me in later. But I like the feeling, pear-shaped. Because we look at the world and it's not going according to our plan. It's not going the way we decided it ought to go. And yet, who's in charge? It's not us. I'm not in charge. Which, occasionally my wife reminds me is a really good thing. My brother and I get together occasionally and we solve all the world's issues after yelling at each other for a couple of hours. And, you know, if we were in charge, everything would be perfect. I don't believe that even a little bit. We are not in charge. God is in charge. God is still in charge. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how ugly it gets, no matter what goes wrong in the world, God is in charge. And God knew from the very beginning when man sinned that he was going to put things on his track. He was going to fix things for us through that child who was going to be born. Now, the exact day and date of the birth of Jesus is something we don't know. And there are those who argue we shouldn't celebrate Christmas. Christmas isn't a big deal. We shouldn't really celebrate Christmas. But when I look in Scripture and I realize that that passage out of Luke that I read was one of the longer Scripture passages that I've used for a message. Now that's a pretty big chunk of stuff that God put in His Word to say the birth of Jesus Christ is important. It's discussed in two of the four Gospels. It's mentioned in a third. It's obvious in all of them that the birth of Jesus Christ is important because without His birth, we have no hope of eternal life. Because without His birth, there is no crucifixion. Without His crucifixion, there is no remission of sin. Without the remission of sin, we are without hope. Without the resurrection, we have no assurance. God worked out His plan, His way, and it's beautiful for us. And so we rejoice. We come to Christmas and we should rejoice. We should look at things that are going on in the world and we should look beyond them and be able to see these wonderful things that God has planned, that God is making work out. And as soon as I stop talking so that I can actually look at my scripture reference. Philippians chapter 4. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. In all the things that might go on in the world, we should rejoice in the Lord. We should also remember that as Paul would, he repeated the same kind of idea in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. He says, rejoice always. There's a tough one. Rejoice always. Don't stop being joyful, ever. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That God's will for you is to rejoice, to be thankful, to see His power, His authority, His ability, His plan. He is in control. We celebrate the fact that God has it in hand. The world may look like a mess to us, But God has it in hand. Rejoice. Because He's in charge. He's going to keep things going His way. And it's going to work out in His plan. And we know that He's promised He's going to return. I don't know when that's going to happen. But it will happen. And if we are in Him, when it happens, we'll be ready for it. Not because we are able to be ready, but because He makes us ready. Again, it's God. It's not our ability. It's not our goodness. It's not our planning. It's not how well the world is managed or how well our country is governed or how cold the weather is or how hot the weather is or whatever. God's in charge. God's plan will work out. Rejoice in the Lord because He loves us enough to die for us. Now, as we think about our slightly pear-shaped world, 630 years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet Habakkuk was living in a time when things were not good in Judah. This was prior to the religious reforms of Josiah, and it was a low point in Judah. They were beset by outside enemies who were threatening the country, who were chewing off territory around the edges. They had large numbers of foreign invaders who were living within their borders, people who came in, who brought their foreign gods and their foreign religions in, and the people of the land were adopting those foreign religions, and they were worshiping these foreign idols, and the nation was caught up in a cycle of apostasy and despair and of economic hardship, and things were not good. Their world was distinctly pear-shaped. And in the middle of all of this stuff not going well, this is what the Lord gave to the prophet Habakkuk to say. He said, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on my high hills. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. When we think about Christmas in a world that has some kind of chaotic elements in it, when we wonder what in the world is going on, why is God letting all this happen? Remember, no matter how bad it goes in this world, God remains in charge. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice. Praise Him. Praise Him for His excellent greatness. I love that expression. His excellent greatness. Praise God because He loved us so much that He sent His only Son that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If we believe in Jesus Christ, in His birth, His life, His crucifixion, and His resurrection, if we believe in Jesus Christ, we have God's promise of everlasting life. Let's rejoice in that promise of everlasting life. And in light of that, that's why I want us to come to our final hymn here, which is not entirely a traditional Christmas hymn. It's "To God Be the Glory." It's hymn number 66. And we're going to stand up, and Barb's going to come to the piano, and we are going to shake the walls, if you would, please. Let God know that you rejoice because we are His people, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, the gift God gave at Christmas.